My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Good Thursday morning. Jeremy and Joe. Sal Capaccio will be joining us here as we chat about the Bills. I feel like I should introduce also Josh Schmidt, producer, who took down the Dominator burger yesterday by himself.
Still amazed.
Sal, have you seen the size of that burger? Josh took it down. He did it.
I have seen it. I've not seen it physically yet, in person. I have only seen the pictures of it that you guys posted and Josh posted.
Yeah. It's got two saber swords in it for the home opener tonight if you want to give that a rip.
We had a
person tweet in, Hank, who's going to go after it tonight and said he's not eating the whole day in preparation. So, you got to
be
ready.
I do that a lot. You guys like that? I do that a lot where I'm like, I know I'm going out for a big dinner, so I don't really eat all day. And people are like, really? That's not the way you're supposed to do it. I'm like, I don't know. It kind of works for me. I feel like I need to do that to make it worth my while at that nice big dinner.
Yeah. Well, tonight, hockey season begins in town. I know they played in Prague, but we've got two against the Kings tonight. Or one against the Kings tonight. There were two in Prague. All right. So, Sal, on to the injuries. Let's get to the injuries because the injury report was, let's just say, people might have had their antenna up, and the news is at least concerning, if nothing else. They're going into this game against the Jets a little bit more banged up on the offensive side than they have been in quite some time. So we'll get the Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. So where should we start?
Yeah, so, all right, well, let me start just by kind of giving a couple general details here, which are there was no official injury report yesterday, but there was obviously Sean McDermott telling us guys, you know, being out there. So just so everybody's clear on that, this was before we went out to practice and then obviously confirmed what we watched practice. When they play on a Monday night, the first official report comes out today on Thursday. So we'll get more clarity on some of these things. The other thing that's very important to note here is because they play on Monday night, even though yesterday's a Wednesday practice, it's kind of like a Tuesday for a normal football week, right? Because you're really an extra day of prep. So anybody who's not at practice, yes, concerning, but you have to bake in there that, you know, they do have an extra day, and if they want to give them a little more time. So that being said, the bad news, I guess you put it that way, would be that James Cook and Curtis Samuel both now not practicing due to foot/toe injuries. Both of them were on the stationary bike during practice yesterday. I did see James, and it could have been Curtis too, but I specifically saw James actually walk over though with the offense and his position group. And I will tell you, generally that's an encouraging sign for one reason. It generally means, guys, that maybe they're keeping him up to speed on the game plan. You know what I mean? But it's just, I don't know. We'll see if he practices today, but that's good. A lot of times you just don't see a guy. Like, if he's not practicing, you just don't see him. He was out there on the stationary bike, and then he was walking around with his position group for a little while. So that was good. Curtis Samuel, now, this situation with his foot and toe, remember, we've talked about this a lot, right? Where why is he not contributing? Is it turf toe? Is it something that because of the injury that, you know, suffered, you know, in preseason? So maybe this is more of that. We don't know. We'll see what happens today. Khalil Shakir did not practice yesterday, but he was working with trainers off to the side, his ankle. That's good news. Taron Johnson was limited in a red non-contact jersey. But the great news there, guys, I saw him actually, and I posted a video. He actually was hitting a bag for the first time. He was actually with contact. So I think he's trending in a really positive direction here. Taylor Rapp has cleared concussion protocol. That's great. Ed Oliver did not practice due to the hamstring injury. That's not good. And then very interesting, in coinciding with James Cook not being at practice, running back Darrington Evans actually had his practice window opened. So they have 3 weeks to put him on the roster or lose him for the year on IR. Or they could waive him, essentially, and then put him on the practice squad like that. I think that's how it would work. But I just think it's interesting. It's the same day that James Cook missed practice that happened as well.
If James Cook were in any danger, Sal, of missing time, I mean, is that backfield to you right now, Ty Johnson would be, even if Cook is limited in this game on Sunday or Monday were to play, is Johnson right now to you the guy that you would expect to see a little bit of an uptick?
That's a great question, Joe. Well, I'd expect to see an uptick in both Johnson and Ray Davis. But I guess the question would be, is there one true guy ahead of the other? I think that's what we'd have to kind of see and find out. I bet you, to me in my head, it looks like more of a really kind of split, you know, sharing time pretty evenly there. But that would be the question for me. Is it Ray Davis or is it Ty Johnson? I'm not really sure on that. So because I think they really like Ray Davis a lot. You know, is he ready to handle something like that? And then you have Frank Gore Jr. who would probably be elevated in that situation. Or again, Darrington Evans could be activated and he could be ready to play. And you could do that if you want this weekend if James isn't able to play. I think it's a really good question. I do think that Johnson's usage would go up, but I think Ray Davis's usage would go up. I think the question is, would you have one kind of more heavy than the other?
And then while we're on injury, Sal, we just heard the clip of Josh Allen when talking about what happened on Sunday going into the blue tent. What did you make of his answer? Did it come off as kind of, I don't know, coy to you at all? Like, how did you take his answer?
Yeah, a little bit. So I also try to think about like how these things are answered sometimes, right? And like, if you're around certain people long enough, you're around the organization long enough, you're around how they answer certain questions, especially when it comes to injuries, you usually don't get a lot of detail anyway, right, on a lot of these things. So I guess coy could be a word you would use, Joe. For me, it came off of as there was an injury and I'm not really going to talk about it. They cleared me to play and they deemed me ready to play. Is that what he said? But he was cleared. He cleared me to play and I'm not going to talk about it. And it kind of goes in line sometimes with the way you generally hear guys talk about injuries, you know, and it seems like to me the organization probably, you know, told him, look, hey, there's a lot of people talking about a lot of things out there. We don't need to feed that. You were cleared to play, and that's it. And that's all people need to know. And, I mean, that's what it sounds like to me, right? Josh was very quick to, hey, I'm not going to go into more detail on that. So that's the way I took it, which is, like, there was a conscious effort to, I'm not going to advance this story. People can say what they want to say, but the fact is that I was cleared to play.
Do you think, Sal, there's, you know, we've talked about Allen getting hurt a lot and what the Bills want to do to protect him. This would have been a close call, right? I mean, okay, he didn't get hurt in that way. You know, every time this comes up, whether it's the hand injury against the Cardinals or this one, we ask, do you think they'll have a conversation with him? This time, he wasn't out running and doing stuff that quarterbacks don't do. He's just outside the pocket. And, you know, I wonder about their ideas or their goals of protecting him, especially if and here's one where you're not telling him not to run through linebackers. You're not telling him to, you know, not to slide more. I don't know what you do in this one. This one you just chalk up, I guess, because it's a regular play? Or is this a, hey, Joe Brady, he's taking some hits. We got to find some easier answers. I mean, is there any sort of answer here?
This goes back, Jeremy, to the wide receiver discussion and what teams are doing to the Bills now. This is not even a how do we protect Josh as far as a schematically running him, not running him, telling him what to do here. This comes back to me, and this is the fear I had and what I said last week after the game. Josh now 2 weeks in a row has been laying on the turf with some sort of, like, he was banged up, right? Remember in Baltimore that happened. Now, granted, that was a trick play. That's 2 weeks in a row now. And the other thing that's happened 2 weeks in a row is teams are getting physical and playing the Bills receivers one-on-one, and there are no easy answers. And as you just said, that's what the solution. We have to figure out a way. But to me, the figure out a way is not schematically what do you do with Josh Allen in the pocket. It's how are we getting guys open quicker for him to see them, yeah. for him to get the ball to them, for them to do their job. Because what's happening is teams are playing more man-to-man defense, and they're banking on, hey, we're going to get to your quarterback, and we're going to pressure him and hit him before he can find an answer to get it to somebody. And if in the meantime, because he's Josh Allen, he's going to say, well, I need to bail out of here and run a little bit. Well, then now he's put himself, you know, a little bit more in a vulnerable position, right? I think that's what's happening. So I think the solution here, in a way, it's not a schematic issue. It can be a schematic issue. I guess what I'm saying is this stems from, I think, what's happening on the outside of Josh Allen, not necessarily what's happening in the pocket with Josh Allen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's where, so yesterday, Joe and I were just kind of asking, wondering, hey, does anybody track how often quarterbacks scramble? And I don't mean just run for yards, but scramble and throw. I mean, Allen rolls to his right an awful lot and delivers a lot of big plays, right? The play to Shakir against the Ravens was that. And sure enough, PFF has an article about quarterback scrambling, and I found someone that does, you know, dug through the data and looked at what they call true scramble percentage. So far this year, which quarterback has run more? That's running forward, that's running sideways and throwing. And Josh Allen is number one in the NFL in true scramble rate. Like 24% of his dropbacks, he is moving. Whether he needs to, whether he's trying to create space, like this could be some offensive line, some blitz pickup. And right back to your point about I don't see anybody open, I'm going to start moving to maybe give the threat of my own ability to run as something this defense has to think about. So we like when he runs. We know he's dynamic, but I feel like having his scramble rate as number one in the NFL is probably a place they don't want to be.
Probably right. I think that anytime your quarterback is on the move, and you'd love to have him just sit back there with a clean pocket and throw it. I don't care if you're Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson and a great runner or just someone, you know, who's not really that mobile anyway. I think that the ideal scenario is when you call a pass play, you want to sit in the pocket, you want him to have a lot of time, you want him to fire it downfield. That's what you want right there for sure. But he also, you know, having Josh Allen allows you to be able to do a lot of those things, and that's part of his game, and I think they understand that. And look, the offensive line knows that, and we've talked before about you don't have to have the most unbelievable, greatest pass protection offensive line when you have a guy like Josh Allen, because he can move. He can actually get out of a few situations, so, you know, you can kind of design your personnel a little bit there as well, knowing that you can have a little more athletic line that can move out with him a little bit. You can do some things on the run. It's a good question. I don't know. There's got to be a balance there. I bet I'm sure they're willing to do some of it because it's part of their game plan. You know, you want them to scramble out a little bit. And there's always going to be, I think this happened earlier in the career, guys. I haven't seen it as much lately. Obviously, there's times where you say he just bailed too early, right? Like he left too early. I think those are the ones you want to avoid where, hey, you didn't have to get out of the pocket there. But he's Josh Allen. That's what he's going to do sometimes. He's going to move. He's going to be on the run. He's just part of his DNA and what he does because that's the way he plays quarterback. I think it's a really tough balance sometimes with that. One thing that's happening too lately is teams are spying on him a little bit more. Yeah. And if you're going to play man-to-man and you're going to rush him a little bit, well, hey, then he's going to get flushed. Well, guess what? Here's the spy. So there's a lot of things happening with the defense that's kind of, you know, playing into all this that we're talking about. I watched something with Bill Belichick a couple weeks ago. And, you know, you guys know he's been really good on TV, right? Now, if you've watched a lot of his stuff. It was really good, too. He talked about spies. And he said, we never play zone when we spied. We always play man-to-man. And I'm thinking about this as I'm watching some of the game back against Houston. And that's what they did. They played some man-to-man. They put a spy. He said, if you play zone and put a spy, there's just too many spaces. There's just one less guy there. If you're going to spy a guy, you play man-to-man because you have to look around. And now all of a sudden, if you have to wait because you can't find anybody, here comes a spy saying you're not going anywhere. And I think these are things that teams are doing to the Bills right now.
Yeah, it almost sounds like, Sal, like the way we're kind of figuring out almost the flip end of it. Like, if you're a defense, what might be the best way to attack the current state of the Bills' offense? Because the last three weeks, I think what you've seen is that the Jaguars played a lot of man against the Bills and got torched for it, but mostly, I think, because they just didn't have the personnel. They didn't have good corners that could cover guys in space. And then you saw more from the Ravens and the Texans. Like, they might be a little better off. They might be more talented at some position. So I wonder if it comes down to week to week this year, us trying to figure out, like, how do you the Bills attack defenses? It might come down to, you might expect more man coverage than ever before if the other team's got really good corners, and if they don't, then maybe you see something different.
Well, guess what's going to happen this week against the Jets?
Well, they have good corners.
They're going to play a lot of man-to-man, and they're going to pressure, and they pressure already, and they're pretty good at that. And I mean, this is a tough matchup for this Bills offense in the current way that they're playing and teams are playing them, and they're going to have some better answers. I would also say, and again, this not playing into this week, of course, I do think it's more challenging on the road to do that because your communication. You go back to the Jacksonville game. The crowd is quiet. You can make checks at the line. You can talk. You can run more motion. That's not a silent cadence. You know, that matters. You know, when you talk about the people, it's not just the road environment of, you know, false starts and communication because he's yelling out, you know, when the ball's going to be snapped. It's communicating what you see up front to everybody. And when you're in a loud environment like you were in Baltimore, like you are in Houston, like you're going to be at the Jets, when they start doing things over there and you're with a silent cadence, it's tough for you to kind of communicate to everybody on what to do and exactly. Look at the hot read, too, that Keon Coleman missed. I'm not saying that's because of the crowd noise, but all of that, there's a lot of the communication that happens, guys, that I think that because they've been on the road the last couple of weeks has played into this sort of thing.
So, Capaccio on the Western Hotline, if you want to get a call in, you can, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
If I could return, Sal, to some of the impacts from the injuries and whatnot, Shakir and Samuel not practicing today, I was wondering already, yesterday, thank you, if Sean McDermott, who talked about, you know, he's confident in the group, but he did say the word concern, like he said, as anybody that watched these games would be, about their current receivers. I was already wondering, like, all right, would they maybe try other guys that they have that are internal without there being injuries? Now there are injuries. So, I don't, like, is Tyrell Shavers someone you expect to play a little bit? He got a few, I mean, he was on the field for the second down play at the end of the Houston game. I don't know maybe there's someone else that you could see getting called up. Like, do you expect the Bills will try different players at that position as part of their answer?
I don't know who they have to be able to try. I mean, yeah, you could put Tyrell Shavers out there. Is he the kind of guy that is going to be more affixed to this sort of problem? I wonder if at some point, KJ Hamler could be a guy you could think about getting elevated. Jalen Virgil has some speed. Does he win quickly off the line at the top of the route? Like, that's what they need. They need guys that can do something like that. That could be Tyrell Shavers. I don't really know. It's a good question. You know, we'll see. It's they don't have a lot of answers right now. Yesterday, not that this guy would come in and be like all of a sudden a fix, but somebody asked Sean McDermott about Chase Claypool yesterday even. Like, that's where we are at the press conference. You know, and he said, I believe his answer was, you know, that's really a question for Brandon Bean, but, you know, he respects Chase and he had a good relationship with him, but it's more of a question for Brandon Bean. But this is to the point, it's to your point, Joe, of, you know, who what can you do personnel-wise? And I think does it mean you have to do a little bit more, do they have to mix up going more 12 personnel? And I know that they try to do that a lot, but is there something you could do with that to kind of create a little bit more matchup diversity there with tight ends or however you want to fit that in there? It's just something that they're going to have to get in the lab and work on to try and fix this, unless you have some sort of fix from the outside, right? We still are sitting here on a Davante Adams and Amari Cooper, right? People still want something like that to happen. Nothing like that's happened around the league. These guys are still on their teams, but they have to figure out the answer either internally or externally, I think is what it is, but there's got to be something that they have to do.
Yeah, I'm reminded of Allen's rookie year a little bit, right? Like, they had a plan going into the year, and then I think it was the middle of the year, they cut Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes and picked up like Isaiah McKenzie off waivers, and Robert Foster started playing more. Like, maybe that's an okay comparison for this, Sal. It's a little different because that team didn't have a winning record. That team didn't have expectations. So what's the risk? What's the downside of, hey, let's just try these young guys? Here, you know, what makes it different is obviously this team is in first place at the moment and still thought to be a contender.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I mean, I think that there's financial concerns all the time and things like that. Like, that was a bit of a different year, as you said, as they were just kind of trying to build around their quarterback. That was kind of the main goal of that year, to kind of figure this out. To me, between now and the trade deadline, let's say, there'll be changes in some way, whatever that is. If that's something internally, could it just be personnel, more usage a certain way with certain people? I'm not really sure. Could it be bringing somebody in? I think, you know, obviously Monday night's a big game to kind of, you know, see where they are after all this.
Sal, finally, you're going to New York for Monday Night Football. Joe's going to this game. He's playing Bethpage Blackhawks down there. And he was giving thought to a Yankee game. Is that in the cards for you? You went to.
I'm hoping he doesn't go to a Yankee game because that means he could go to Game 5. I'm sorry, Joe.
Uh-huh.
But the Yankees had a nice big win last night. By the way, I had to tweet this, and I'll say it here. I in the moment right now, take back all the mean things I ever said about Giancarlo Stanton in a big spot. Like, I never gets a hit in a big spot. And it's Max always says to me, Dad, don't talk bad about him. Maybe he'll get a big hit. I'm like, and guess what? It happened last night, and I didn't. And he was sitting next to me. It was late night watching the game, and I'm like, I didn't say anything bad about him. Look at that. He finally got a big hit. He said, that's exactly what happens. But anyway, he had a huge hit, huge home run, so good job, Giancarlo. He's actually – did you guys see the stat on Giancarlo Stanton as far as postseason home runs? Did
no.
you see this?
No.
Oh, my God. I was blown away. This is true. Giancarlo Stanton has the lowest at-bat to home run ratio in Major League history in the postseason other than Babe Ruth.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
He's hit a home run at every like 8.9 or 9 at-bats. Babe Ruth's the only one lower. Like it's like 7 or 8 or something like that, which is insane. And here's Judge who can't hit anything right now, right? I mean, he's horrible right now and they're playing. So anyway, back to your question. I have been to Yankee Stadium for playoff games. I've been to Yankee Stadium for World Series games and old Yankee Stadium for that one. It is an amazing atmosphere. It really is. And if you got a chance, Joe, you should go. I just hope they don't have to go to game.
What I told Joe was if he goes, he has to root for the Yankees because he's part of the scene there. And I've got another way to convince you.
God.
Did you see on the broadcast last night, you know who celebrates when the Royals score runs?
Oh, Mahomes.
There he is.
Besides Lee Geary.
Yep. There's Patrick Mahomes going nuts.
I do think, and you said this yesterday too, like, I'm not going to be able to not high-five somebody that turns around from the row in front of me if I'm there after a home run, right?
But, you know, people, like, I would say this, like, to this point, people say hockey's the best sport to watch live. Postseason baseball
every pitch.
Yeah, postseason baseball is different from regular baseball. Regular baseball, you're eating peanuts and doing whatever. Postseason baseball is
intense.
Everyone is locked in. Yeah. It's really great.
Listen, you guys have seen, like, I am not a Knicks fan, but when the Knicks are rolling in the Garden, oh my God, right? Is it not an amazing scene and atmosphere? I'm telling you, it's the same way at Yankee Stadium, Joe. So think of it that way.
All right.
Like, that's what you're a part of if you're there.
What's your what's the most interesting World Series matchup?
Oh, it's Yankees-Dodgers. It's
more than the Subway
Series?
It's
Judge against Otani. Okay, so locally, like people like us, Subway Series is great. But nationally for baseball,
Dodgers.
I think it's Judge against Ohtani. Have you guys seen the documentary called The Uncivil War between Yankees and Dodgers?
No.
It's awesome. It's like a 30 for 30 basically, but it's called The Uncivil War and it's about the history of the two teams and their hatred for one another, and it's great.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Yankees picked up a win. We're going to call Howard today. I already texted him. I'm like, you okay? You all right? You got a Lindor grand slam?
Yeah.
He already said gravy. He didn't even care if they beat the Phillies, really. It was already so wonderful. Now they beat the Phillies. And like,
Howard's on Twitter throwing out MVP hot takes yesterday.
I know. Lindor should be the MVP.
He made a good argument.
Yeah. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. Paul at 8 o'clock. It is Sabres game day at the arena. So let's go. Victor Olofsson scored for Vegas, their first goal of the year.
Scored twice.
He scored twice. Eichel had four assists. Should we just not?
Sorry, and by the way, correction from earlier. He had been skating with Eichel in training camp. For the game yesterday, I guess he was on the third line.
Okay.
He was not with Eichel.
Did Mittelstadt have a hat trick? Should we just do that? Who else?
Skinner
didn't score because Edmonton got shut out.
I mean, Reinhardt. The guys that have already won the cup, like it's almost like we already
forget about them.
We don't even want to think about those guys anymore. It's the new guys, right? So Skinner, Mittelstadt, Olofsson, and is there another? Ullmark just signed a big contract, right?
What's Eric Johnson?
$8 million.
Eric Johnson.
He can't be still.
Eric Johnson scored four goals last night for Winnipeg. All right. 803-0550. We'll get some trivia in. Get some fun along the way as we cruise through this Thursday morning. Our three way Thursday parlay coming up. Niners and Seahawks tonight. It's chilly out there.
Yes, it is.
It's chilly. Did something for the first time.
You did something for the first time?
Yeah.
You made eggs.
No, God, no. Please. What are you, crazy? Never.
You've had eggs before.
I have like a bite of scrambled eggs once every 3 years to see if anything has changed, and nothing has changed.
Because your taste buds are supposed to like reset every 6 years.
It's not happening. I don't get it.
But you know what they taste like. This is not Howard with like apples, so he doesn't know what they taste like.
My hot take is that they don't really taste like watermelon. Much of anything. It's the things you put in them that make them taste like something.
What?
Which
you
I support.
All you put in them is like cheddar cheese.
That's cheese. Or like hot sauce or pepper.
Spices.
Right? Spices. Which is fine. I get that concept. Uh-huh. I'll just put that stuff on other things like bread or home fries.
Wait. Are you saying you were more likely to eat eggs if they were just plain eggs, nothing on
them? No, I'm saying my impression of eggs, it's a lot like mushrooms. There's not a lot of taste to the thing itself.
Sure.
It's what it's coated in, soaked in, sprinkled with, sizzled with.
But that's a lot of
things. It's a flavor delivery system.
That's celery.
Most food is a flavor delivery system.
Well, right.
But no, I agree with you.
Okay.
I think that food is a condiment delivery system, and I feel like eggs are at the top of that chain. They don't really taste like much.
But again, if they're not really different than other things, then what's your problem with eggs?
I don't like the taste.
But you said they don't really have a taste.
I know. I don't eat.
These two arguments, though, are fighting each other.
I don't eat paper. Doesn't taste like much.
What if there were spices on paper?
You know, paper with barbecue sauce, I could probably get it down. So if I had to eat eggs to survive, I probably could, but I just, you know, doesn't do it for me. 803-0550. On that true scramble rate, maybe we'll toss that around a little bit when we get back. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Also, don't forget, it's hot dog of the day season. Only one show has insider status and can tell you what the hot dog of the day is.
And so we're going to have to test my palate because I had exactly 3 bites of it.
Okay, this is a different version of the game. They brought in all the food yesterday.
They didn't tell us what it was.
They didn't tell us what was on it. Joe ate some of it.
3 bites.
So I want you to lay out your best description of what the hot dog of the day is. We'll see how many ingredients you could get right.
All right.
Fun times with hot dog of the day. Last year was the year of the hot dogs. This year's going to be the year of the hot dogs and playoffs.
We should set a goal. How many we can get right on the season? 40 home games. What can we get? Can we get 15?
Yeah. I know the name of this one today, but I don't
know the
ingredients.
This one, if I've had 3 bites and you know the name of it, then I think we have to.
The name of it's not going to help you at all.
No?
No.
Okay, never mind.
No. 803-0550. Join us on the Bills on Sabres expectations as well here on WGR.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know this song, right, Joe? Thrift Shop?
Yeah, I know the song.
This song was number one February 20th, 2013, when the Sabres fired Lindy Ruff.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's been a minute.
Almost 12 years ago.
Okay. I thought this song would have been older than that.
I mean, could have been number one for a while.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. The thing I did for the first time, we turned on the heat in the house.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so it wasn't the first time ever. It was first
no,
time this,
first time this year. Used turned to be a time on. Where you'd try to go as long as you could.
Right.
But
we are
it was
still
cold last night.
We're still going. We haven't turned the heat
and
on.
And the house was cold.
Yeah.
So we turned the heat on.
What did it get down to? Like 60-something?
Last night? No. Got to like 42.
No, in the house.
Oh, I don't know. Cold. The heat was off. It was just in like the, you know, you go the heat mode or the cool mode.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The rooms were cold. My wife said, turn the heat on. I said, okay. Show you how that goes.
I will not be making that decision, actually, maybe, because my wife will have the house to herself this weekend, so she'll probably decide one way or the other. Are we done with like 70s? Is it?
Nah.
That's fine. I love this weather. I love the 50s. I love, you know, the light, slight overcast.
We got mid-60s. We're pretty much done with 70s.
All right.
Overnight lows, 42.
That's not great.
It's also, you're also in the neighborhood where you accidentally still have the windows open from like the last week or so, and then you wake up, oh, it's 42 in here.
Right, exactly.
All right, 803-0550, Sabres home tonight. I got my keys to the game for you. You want those now? Here's my keys to the game.
Before that, did you see the Bob Dylan tweet yesterday?
Yes, Bob Dylan saw or met a Sabre.
He ran into a Sabre in, what, the elevator or just in the hotel?
In Prague.
And a Sabre invited him to the game. And he tweeted this. He tweeted the whole story. I told him I had a show. I couldn't.
Who did it? Who do you see?
Well, I mean, that could... Bob Dylan is famous, what, in the 60s and the 70s? But he obviously would be, like, you know, one of the most famous musicians ever.
Right, you're would asking, you, would, what, you, would I know if he walked in the elevator in this room?
Would you know if he would walk in? If he walked by right now, would you know it's Bob Dylan?
I can't be confident that I would.
Because there's no way I would have, which is why it's almost, maybe there was a way they would have known. It would have been impressive to me if any Sabres player walking by Bob Dylan knew Bob Dylan. Like, knew what he looked like.
Yeah. What are the odds he knew who that was?
What? The other way around? Wait, Bob Dylan knew?
Like, he just saw Tage. He's like, oh, hey, Tage.
Bob Dylan's talking. It's Matthias Samuelsson.
Right. What are the odds?
Zero. Absolutely zero.
All right.
Surprised he knew what the Sabres were.
803-0550. We're going to talk to Howard in a few minutes. Check in on him, see how he's doing after him. He got a Lindor grand slam and a Mets win.
Yep.
Do you want the Josh Allen scramble conversation or the Sabres keys to victory for tonight?
Give me the keys to victory. What do we got? Right.
This is some hockey music. This is very quick. Sabres keys to victory
keys
tonight.
Keys to victory.
Yes.
All right.
And maybe this will be moral victory. We'll call them like goals for tonight.
Keys to moral victory?
This is all I need out of tonight. Okay.
This could be recurring. Keys to moral victory.
Keys to moral victory. All right. Hey. These are the keys to moral victory.
This is where we are as a team.
Number one. I already mentioned this one a little earlier. Outshoot the Kings like 13-5 in the first period. That's the thing that happens in hockey. Home team, first game. Hey, good period. Not bad. 13-5 on shots. It'd be 0-0. And what are we doing? Walking into the hallways intermission like, you know what? It's a pretty good period. 13-5. Outshoot the Kings 13-5.
Okay.
Give or take. Number two, key to victory. Let me look at Tage Thompson dangle or two. Can I get one? Hey, oh, look at this. All right, yeah. Your best player, your best forward is...
Okay.
Give me a dangle. I want a dangle.
A dangle. He doesn't even have to score on
nope.
the dangle.
I just want to see a little bit of confidence, a little bit of, you know, give me a dangle.
Okay.
Number three. And finally, don't get booed. That's it.
Don't get booed.
That's my emotional state. That's my keys to victory. Keys to moral victory for tonight.
Keys to moral victory.
Keys to moral victory are brought to you by morals or morality.
Morality.
Yeah, the morale.
Don't get booed. What are their odds of getting booed tonight?
I mean, it depends. If they get skunked by the Kings, it's going to get...
I'd set the odds at like -115.
Well, think about last year. Last year, they had a bunch of games they got booed. I mean, there's one they give up 9 to Columbus. That's the game that they chanted fire Donnie.
Yeah. Yeah, they fired it for like 30 seconds in the second period down like 8-1.
I know.
By the way, I still cannot believe that started all of that. Yes.
Other games I remember, after getting beat badly in Philly, they come home for a Friday night black and red game, just get skunked by the Flyers. The opener last year was a dud. Too many duds. So there you go. Keys to moral victory. A Tage Dangle out shooting the Kings 13-5 in the first. Don't get booed. That's that.
We did. I mean, did we get how many dangles did we get about from Tage last year? Because his season 2 years ago, we talked about the video on YouTube. There's like
nothing
40
but
minutes of just him dangling.
It's just people. Highlight reel goals. It's goals that you would say you can't score goals like that in the NHL, and he had like 20 of them.
Right, and we were comparing him to Mario Lemieux.
And last year it was all about, well, I think there might be an injury there that's factoring in. You know, the whole I've got to explain what's happening with the guy's not healthy, which can be true. So
yeah,
I need something.
Something to believe in?
Give me a Jack Quinn snipe, you know?
That is really what that's all I need. I need their best players to look like best players. Any of them. Paterka, I don't care who it is. Two of them, one of them. Quinn tonight, Paterka, Benson looks amazing. Anything. Tage would be the best for this because we know what his ceiling is.
No.
I need him to get back to that ceiling.
803-0550.
You also don't want to start. Oh, sorry, you don't want to start 0-3 going to play the defending Stanley Cup champions.
No, that's right. On Saturday, they're here.
That'd be bad vibes.
That would be very bad. Rafael Nadal retired.
Okay, he was still playing.
Yes, 38 years old. He has issued a statement on Twitter that he is retired.
There are crazy stats about Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic over like a 20-year period, winning like all but two majors. It really is like three Michael Jordans all existing in the same sport at the same time.
It's like Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger. Always,
I think it's better.
Always winning the AFC. Probably better.
I feel like it's three Bradys existing for 25 years. Because there's no rotation. There is no, hey, Drew Brees won one. There's no, you know, Flacco got one. It's just, now three guys won every single major. And now Djokovic is, what, the only one left?
Yeah. 803-0550. We'll talk with Paul at 8 o'clock for our home opener preview against the LA Kings. That's tonight. New Jumbotron debuts. Lindy Ruff's return to Buffalo with the Sabres. You know, it's home opener night.
Come on. Good. Let's start some vibes tonight.
I'm working here.
Let's start some good vibes tonight.
I'm ready.
Don't have me looking up drought trivia after the game. You know? I stopped because you know what? Early season, and it's like everyone wants to feel good. Let's see them start well. So I stopped myself from looking up what the last commercial was in the last Sabre playoff game.
Yeah. Penguins got smoked last night.
Yeah, they got smoked.
6-0. Tonight, you're gonna watch the out of town scoreboard here? See what the Bruins do against Montreal?
I'll not watch the game. I'll look at what they do because I'm curious to see if the Bruins are bad. They got destroyed by the Panthers.
How about this? The Utah Hockey Club tonight plays against the Islanders. So all those new hockey fans that Utah has are going to quit the sport tonight. You know, look at this. What is this? This is terrible.
Game two. I'm not going to watch the Islanders.
This sport is terrible.
Yeah.
All right. 803-0550. We'll check in on Howard's health and then get to Paul Hamilton for a Sabres preview on WGR.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up.
Two and one to Lindor. Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1. They were famished for the big hit all night. And Francisco Lindor just provided a feast. Mets 4, Phillies 1 here in the sixth inning.
Mets are through for the NLCS. We go to senior Mets insider Howard Simon on the Western Hotline. Howard, the Mets...
Senior because of how old I am?
Yeah.
Well,
if we're doing it that way, it's double senior Mets insider.
Double senior.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know the Mets loaded the bases in the second inning, right? Also, but didn't score like they'd been needing to crack through, and finally Lindor does. How was it in the bunker in that moment?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I did not exactly watch the whole game. I would say I was more in and out of watching the game. I really could not handle the stress.
Wow.
Wow.
You had to walk away.
I was watching other things, but I had my phone. I had my MLB app with the Mets game going on. I had people texting me left and right, so I kind of knew what was happening, but it was I did not watch a Kyle Schwarber at bat last night. I did not watch the ninth inning last night. It was too much. It's too much.
Wow.
How do you enjoy the top moments?
Howard, it's only the DS, and they were up in the series.
Yeah, but you don't understand. It's the Phillies.
Okay.
There's one team Mets fans don't want to have their season end in the playoffs against in the National League. Some people might think it's the Braves. For me, it's the Phillies. I hate every Philadelphia sports team.
Okay, so now are you back to playing with foul money and you can stick through all the rest of it?
Yeah. Okay. I honestly believe the next round will not be anywhere near as stressful for me. See, the wild card was, okay, you made the playoffs. That's really cool. Don't be one and done. So there was stress in the wild card round. Then you can't lose to the Phillies. LCS is gravy. So the next stress, if they advance, is World Series. But I think you couldn't lose to the Phillies, and there's a really cool run, and you don't want it to end. I keep thinking about the 05-06 Sabres, and it's just, let's enjoy the ride, but there's a little bit of stress involved, too.
Yeah, I was thinking about you for this, because when you get to the playoffs, especially these long series like this, and the series are now going to get longer, of course, you get to, it's not just you don't want your team to lose because it means they won't win, because it means you don't get to watch any more games. And at this point, you've come to love the teams. Joe Beamer walks by with a Mets shirt on right now, by the way.
There's something, look, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought this team was going to be bad this year. I thought they might lose 90 games. I thought they'd have one of the worst pitching staffs in Major League Baseball, and they were basically just waiting for some of the guys they traded for last year when they sold off parts to be ready in 2025. So I really wrote this year off completely. For them to be in the playoffs and now in the LCS is utterly amazing, and the way they win games, first off, Lindor keeps this up, he'll have a statue next to Seaver outside Citi Field. I mean, the way they win games and some of the stuff they're doing is you couldn't write this stuff up and make people think it's realistic, right? Yeah. I mean, the way they clinched in Atlanta, Milwaukee, scoring late, Lindor's grand slam last night. Are you freaking kidding me with this?
Yeah, it's been a lot of highlights. And, you know, I think if you're not a Mets fan but you're listening and you're a Sabres fan, starting the season slowly, like, you were ready to write it off early. The Mets were 0-5.
I think they were 11 games back at one point.
Yeah, it's a team that was
11 games back in May, and Lindor was hitting like he was below the Mendoza line. You know, and Senga got hurt in spring training, and Alonso and these guys were dead in the water before Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, it should be. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, a little stressful. I just could not watch Diaz in the ninth inning last night. And when I looked at my phone and thought, oh God, there's two on, there's two out, and Schwarber's coming up to the bat. Oh my Lord. There's no way I could watch that. Because the guy has 657 career home runs against the Mets. And he just, I couldn't do it. But as soon as I got text, remember, everybody, Matt Bove, I think, was the first guy. Colesiel texted me. I actually got a text from Pat Coletta last night.
Wow.
So I got text. I'm like, they were all excited. I thought, okay, let me just, oh, good. He struck him out. The Mets are in the LCS. Yeah. So that was my ninth inning. I got to go back and watch it.
I got a bunch of tweets to get you on the show to talk about it. People want to check in on you.
If you watch the game. Well, I have to go back and watch that to see how it was.
A long time ago, Howard, I told you that you enjoy the stress. And, you know, there's a point to be made here, even though you did have to turn it off, which is, you know, understandable. I think we've all been there before.
The stress came with the job. See, now that I'm not working, I'm trying to eliminate all possible stress in my life. But, no, I get it. I know, Joe, you're incredulous, but you don't understand. You have to be a lifetime Mets fan to understand the dark side of rooting for this team.
Howard, 2-3 weeks ago, Arsenal playing Man City. I've not been an Arsenal fan as long as you've been a Mets fan. They're trying to finish off down a man at Man City, and I had to walk around the block, basically. I couldn't watch it. I was too invested. I was like, watching this isn't helping. Why don't I just go for a walk?
I think it was game three. Yeah. I went out in the neighborhood and just walked around. I couldn't just sit and watch. I have to be It's too much. It's too much stress. But, hey, like I said, I think I'm good. Whatever, Padres or Dodgers, I'm not sure that it necessarily matters too much. They're both really good. So I honestly think the LCS will be less stressful than the DS.
Very good. I'm going to send you, I'm going to text to you right now. You love beating the Phillies. We'll play it when we get back as well. There's a local television station in Philadelphia did a bunch of interviews with Philly fans and how mad they are.
God.
It's a whole whole package of Philly fans. It is utterly hilarious. So for those of you listening, stay tuned. We'll play it when we come back. And I'll send it to you.
Well, because Philly sports fans don't overreact.
I mean, listen, it's just like Boston. You have these certain markets. When they lose, it's fun to watch them lose.
Yeah, well, Philly is number one for, I think, a lot of people.
All right. Thanks, Howard. Good luck. Go Mets.
Thanks, fellas. Go Mets, baby.
Go Mets. Saw a person running yesterday in a Mets shirt, and I shouted out, I give it go Mets. That was my contribution to the cause. Go Mets. Why not? 803-0550. Stay tuned for that Philadelphia television report with these these devastated fans. It's amazing. We'll do that, and we'll do a home opener preview. Paul Hamilton, our Sabres beat reporter, joining us on the other side. Sabres and Kings tonight at KeyBank Center.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.